All right. Hello, everyone. It's Nathan here. I'm filling in for Larry today because Larry is actually having Inner Circle at his office. So I just wanted to get on a few minutes early and open up the call. I'm actually, funny thing is, when Larry asked me to get on this call today, I was actually in the middle of traveling. I'm actually on my way back into the United States. So I'm currently at the airport. So if you hear any announcements behind me, all that kind of stuff in the background, I apologize because I'm at the airport on my way into the United States. I'll actually be at Larry's Inner Circle tomorrow in the office and hanging out with the students there. That'd be great for the next 2 days. But yeah, so if you haven't heard of me yet, I know we've got all kinds of members that come on board for Larry's calls and then other members that come on board for the calls with me. I also do the calls on the on Wednesdays. I do Wednesdays at noon. I do the call the second and fourth Wednesday of each month, and that's at 12 p.m. also, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the second Wednesday of every month is a deal analysis call, and then the fourth Wednesday of every month is the how to have conversations, how to talk to, negotiate with sellers and deal with buyers as well. So yeah, so that's what it's about. So again, I'm Nathan Amaral. I'm Larry's head coach in his office, and work with a lot of people who've been on these calls before. And I'm taking over the call for Larry today. Larry's Q&A because he's doing Inner Circle with clients at his office, and I'm actually headed there at the airport flying on the way over there today, actually, within the next hour. So, fill in for Larry if you have any questions, anything you got going on in your business. Let's kick it off here with whoever has a question first. Just jump right in. Who do we have on the call today, by the way? Why don't we do that as well? Who's on the call today so far?
Melody from Florida.
Oh, great. How are you?
Discouraged.
Wait, was that discouraged?
Yeah. I'm okay. Really finding some deals. So am I the only one on the call?
No, there's other people. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Roger Sloan, Decatur, Illinois.
Hey, how are you?
I'm here.
Great. And just for those still coming in, just to let you know, I'm filling in for Larry today because Larry has Inner Circle at his office. I normally do the calls the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 12 p.m. And I'm filling in for Larry. And when he asked me, I said, sure, no problem. But at the same time, I'm also at the airport flying into the United States. I'm in Portugal right now, and I'm leaving in 1 hour. So I'm kind of in the middle here at the airport as well. All right, so going back to the first gal, sorry, I missed your name, but state your name again, and you said you were discouraged. So let's kind of kick it off from there. Hello? Did I lose you? Who in the beginning of the call said they were discouraged about finding deals? Is it hard to find deals? Yep. Maybe we lost her. All right. Anyone else want to jump in? Ask any questions that you got?
Hey, Nathan, it's Forrest. How are you?
Hey, good, Forrest. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I'll go if nobody else would go.
Sure.
All right, so I just left a meeting with a customer. I have this property under contract. Mm-hmm. And I went, to try to negotiate a better price, and also I didn't agree with the square footage on the tax record. So basically, I've comped this thing out at like $175 a foot, and it's 2230 feet, 2230 square feet, so it's like 390 is what the comp is for that area. And I have it under contract at 282. I had it under contract at 292, but I was able to negotiate down another 10,000 a day in repairs, but he can't go any lower because that's all the cash he has, because he owes 292 and he'd have to come up with 10,000 to go to closing. So my point is it's not a home run deal. So my question is, what is the best way to market this thing so that I can still, you know, get this thing wholesaled?
Well, let me ask you this. When it comes to repairs, it still has a good chunk of money that needs to be repaired? Or, I mean, how much in rehab are we looking at?
So this property is in a great area. I mean, really, it's like, it's a B-plus neighborhood, B-plus school zone. It's a nice area. It was a rental up until yesterday. The tenant moved out last night. So it's move-in ready if you can, you know, do the paint. It's basically a cosmetic only. Everything works.
Okay.
It's just cosmetic. So I could prehab it for $10,000 and, you know, still sell it at a bargain.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I mean, move-in ready property, you know, doesn't need much work. I mean, somebody could definitely, you know, you could sell it over to a landlord. If you have a property like that that doesn't need a rehab job, you're probably looking at more tapping into landlords, the landlord association, someone who does maybe single family rentals. Another thing is turnkey property. You know, I don't know if the discount is there enough for them. There's probably not enough meat on the bone. But turnkey property companies in the area, because they have a database of people, you know, who, you know, don't want to do the rehab and all that. They just want to pile in the cash.
When you say turnkey properties, what is that, like a property management company?
To a degree, there's companies out there. What they do is they basically buy properties at a discount. Some of them need a little bit of rehab. Some of them need a lot of rehab. They typically like properties that are not like deep rehab. And then what they do is they find a tenant and put the tenant in the property, but they sell the opportunity. Like they sell the property plus the tenant, and they say, oh, we'll collect the rents, and if the tenant leaves, we'll find you a new tenant. So in a way, yes, it is property management, but they're basically selling the entire opportunity with the property plus the tenant involved. And the investor that's buying it gets a little bit of the cash flow each month. And typically a good deal is going to be like $200 to $400 a month for the investor who buys it. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're basically a company that finds these kind of opportunities. They really like the ones that are almost move-in ready, and then they turn around and sell that the whole opportunity with a tenant already inside, and they handle everything. They sell that to an investor, a very passive investor, an investor who doesn't want to – they're usually not local. They're usually in a whole other state, and they just sell it where, hey, every month you're going to get X number of dollars back into your bank account from this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there. They typically buy those types of properties. They usually don't like to do a whole bunch of rehab, but they're there. So I would tap into either one or the other, landlord or turnkey companies, you know. Because you can't sell it. It's going to be difficult to sell it to a rehabber.
Yeah, so I've got a guy looking at it this afternoon that it's outside of my area. It's in Charlottesville, Virginia. So I went to their RIA group last week and, you know, just introduced myself to everybody. And there's a guy that likes to, like, move into the property and rehab it one room at a time and then, you know, like, sweat equity kind of thing and then sell it. So, you know.
Yeah.
He's coming to look at it this afternoon. And, you know, those kind of people, I think, you know, could be some of my target, if not this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, other people that are willing to, you know, count the sweat equity, you know, as more value than just a 70% deal or something like that.
Right,
so.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much how you're going to be able to turn that one over. It's going to be someone who's already in the business. Maybe they're already a landlord. They already have a portfolio of rentals. And if it does, and maybe they're not big on rehabbing. So, yeah, someone like that or some of the turnkey companies. But, yeah, that's pretty much who you're looking for. The landlord, you never know. The local landlord association meeting, you know, they have meetings as well. It's not part of RIA or anything. But the local, mm-hmm. like, landlord association, they're usually in pretty much almost every major city. They have monthly meetings. Sometimes they have a community forum. Right. I would just recommend, like, asking around, like, calling the president of that association. And, you know, typically those are people who own duplexes or big apartment complexes or people who have multiple single-family rental portfolios.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd try that out.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Good to hear from you.
How was Portugal?
It was great, man. It was great. I did 1 week here this time, and as soon as I got here, I hit the ground running. I literally went to go look at a 10-unit complex. But the great part about it was, this is what I did for us. By the way, I got to share this because you are really good at local. Like, you're great at building a team and networking. You get face-to-face with people, and this is really powerful. So what I did was I took six people out to eat, six people I call them my power team, right? So my power team here in Portugal anyway, and that was my lawyer, my real estate agent, the agent, and then I took to my property manager, who does all my property management work in the area. I took two contractors who were going to give me the estimate of repairs, and then I took one appraiser. But what I did was I took them all out to eat. That's the first thing we did. I took them all out to eat. And after we were done, you know, we were whatever, having wine, you know, whatever, bought them wine and anything they wanted. And then literally
that
what we did was
together.
We walked.
That was a meal together, right?
That was a meal together, yeah. Right. Everybody. I told everybody, let's meet here at this time and everything. We're going to walk the building. So we met all of us together, all seven of us, and we literally, after we were done, we walked across the street. It wasn't that far. We walked across the street to the building, the 10-unit complex, and we all walked the building together with the agent that was on my team. We just walked the building together. We got live estimates. We went through everything. We spent a good, like, I want to say almost 2 hours going through the entire thing, probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And we went through the entire building, and that was great, great turnaround. And then as we were leaving, we literally walked down about five buildings, and one of my contractors knew another contractor that was working on another building. And they started talking, and, hey, what's going on, long time, you know. And then all of a sudden, he said, what are you guys doing? And he said, oh, we just came from that building, looking at that building. He said, oh, then you might be interested in this building. And we're like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, we're cleaning out this building because we're going to sell it. But the boss doesn't even want us to clean it out. He's like, here's his number. You should give him a call because he hasn't put it on the market yet. So, and all I'm thinking is like, this is great. We got a seller, a motivated seller who's not even, he doesn't even have it on the market yet. So basically we got another contact that went really well. And that was another 12 unit. It was actually a 12 unit building. It would be modified to a 12 unit. And then after that, I went to the bank. And when I went to the bank, I was talking to the mortgage broker at the bank. And when he said, oh, how's life, whatever, we're just picking up and talking about life. And I said, oh, I just came from a 10 unit with my agent's name is Mario. And he said, oh, you know Mario? And I was like, yeah, he's the one who found me that 10 unit. He's like, oh, okay. Would you be interested in any of our foreclosures, our REOs? We have a bunch of them. I was like, well, show me what you got, right? And he started showing me. He showed me, you know, some were apartments, some were houses that were just sitting on their books that they were trying to get rid of. And you know what he said to me? He said, listen, these are at 40% off the market right now. He said, I would, because of the guys that you mentioned that you just went with, I know those guys, they're good people. He said, I'd be willing to give you even a deeper discount on these properties if you can buy them in the next, like, 60 days. Because we before reporting comes up, we need to get these off our books, so on and so forth. So I was like, well, great. Yeah, that's even better. anyway, long story short, Forrest, was the power of connections. Like, this banker knew some of my members on my power team, and he said, oh, if you're working with them, they're good people, so let's see what we can do. And if you're already buying the building, maybe we can, you know, give you another building that we already have on our books. So anyway, I share that with you because you are that kind of guy. You're like that face-to-face, get make it local, talk to people, build a relationship. And I think that's always how you find the best deals. I think that's just how it is. So long story short, the here in Portugal, we're closing at the, like, the middle of next month on this 10 unit. And then I have to come back here to look more in depth about, I have to do more walkthroughs if I'm going to buy some of those other properties. So maybe on the way back when I'm leaving the U.S., I'll stop back here in Portugal and do a few more walkthroughs. But anyway, that's been the progress here so far.
Well, that's exciting, man. That's pretty cool. That's kind of like, you know, what else, guys? What else are you going to do?
Yeah, man, it's just how it is. And you know what? Like, I would walk the street, like, multiple times. Like, literally before I left for the airport, there was a little cafe that were opening up, and I just started talking to some guy who was just standing there. So I peeked my head in, and he looked at me. He's like, oh, can I help you? And I said, oh, I'm just looking at what's going here because I have a property, like, two buildings over. And he said, oh, he said, why do you want to know? I said, well, because I have interest in this area. And he said, okay, well, I'm the owner. It's going to be a cafe from Denmark. I just moved here from Denmark. He's like, come on in. I'll show you around, right? So we walk through. He's giving – thing is still in construction. We walk around. We look around. Anyway, the guy ends up telling me that the building across the street is for sale. Well, it's not for sale. It's not for sale yet, but he knows the owner, and he's interested in selling off a few more properties. So what do I ask him? I ask him for his number. I asked him, hey, we should all grab some dinner sometime and let's talk about it, but I'm leaving the country in about 2 hours. He's like, oh, yeah, let's do it. When you come back, we'll go out to eat. And really, that's just how it is. You know, that's keeping it local at the end of the day. So, yeah, man, I always think about you when I'm doing, like, local stuff like that. That's just the power of networking.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
At least that's a nice compliment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. All right. Let's jump to the next question. Who else wants to jump in? Question, story, hurdle, challenge? Been running up against any challenges in your business this past week? Have you been making offers? If you haven't been making offers, why not? Is there something holding you back from making offers? Are you having a hard time finding properties, finding sellers? It can be big, it can be small, you know, sometimes even the smallest thing. Sometimes you think like, oh, no one else may have this problem. You know, that's something I think about sometimes when even with doing some bigger apartment units and whatnot, I always think like, oh, does anyone else have this problem? And you know what? It comes to find out a lot of people do. Sometimes the more we talk about what's going on in our business, we realize that other people face the same challenge. Whether you see it online, maybe you're in groups online, or whether you're on calls like this, you hear that other people have similar challenges and hurdles. And that's really just part of the business, part of the learning curve. Really part of the learning curve. Biggest learning curve I've had. Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
It was Forrest again, but go ahead and continue your sentence, and then I'll jump in.
Forrest, I think this, you're going to love this, because the biggest learning curve I've had is these Airbnb rentals. I know we've talked about this before. But that property management company, the gal that I work with that property management company, she's we've been talking about getting the regulations in the United States are much different than Portugal. And so we have like all the, like, I'm not kidding you, Forrest. The country of Portugal requires that each room has a mirror in it. Like every bedroom, every bathroom has to have a mirror. Now, you, of course, we're thinking every bathroom does, but maybe not every bedroom does. And every bedroom has to have a chair in it. It's regulation. They actually inspect your place before you even rent it out. You have to be like registered. You have to pay fees, which is a lot different than the United States, by the way, if you're doing Airbnb rentals. And I know you recently a lot of Airbnb, there's been a lot of talk and, you know, about doing Airbnb, whether you own the property or not. Some people are doing it as if someone else already owns the property and you're just the middleman and manager. But I own these properties and I'm marketing them. And so in order to be official, you have to go through these regulations. So Forrest, yeah, I mean, I spent the past 2 days dealing with the government, getting the right placards, the exit signs. You need all these things. European Union is much more strict than the United States when it comes to regulations with short-term rentals. So I learned a lot just by, because I really don't know this space like that super well. I've never really done short-term rentals, especially abroad in the European Union. So, man, the past 2 days, my mind has been like on overdrive learning a whole bunch of things, not through a seminar. I didn't go to a seminar. I didn't watch a webinar on how to do Airbnb rentals. What I did was I actually just got into it, and I just said, okay, who's done this before? Who has experience? Let me connect with them. I need to talk to them. I need to take them out to eat. That's just my strategy. I always take people out to eat. But let me pick their brain. And what I did was I actually, a buddy of mine here on the island, he has Airbnb rentals, and he actually has, I think like six or seven of them now. He doesn't own them. He only owns one, but the rest he manages. And what I did was, his name's David. I said, David, we got to go out to eat this week. Well, we met up twice this week and took him out to eat, bought him wine, and he just poured out his information, and we just, you know, connected and you know, grew our friendship at the same time as we both build our businesses. So I highly recommend that in some way. I know people do this virtually as well, and so do I. I do a lot of my stuff virtually, but you, in some way you have to build those relationships. Forrest, back to you.
Yeah, I don't have an Airbnb yet, but, you know, I applaud you honoring the rules, because that's been, you know, one thing that has prevented me from, one of the many things that I haven't gotten started in Airbnb yet, is because I wanted to find a market that it was legal. And I think we had talked about it before that anybody can set up an Airbnb, right, in their house or,
right.
I mean, you know, Airbnb doesn't check the local laws and restrictions. You know, they just let you post. And so I wanted to find a market that would allow it and really embrace it, you know, because if you're running a business, right, and you're paying your taxes like you're supposed to because it's the law, and you're doing you're supposed to do according to the law, you might as well make your money according to the law. And that's one thing I have about the Airbnbs in our area and the people, and they're wildly successful in it, you know, and maybe I'm, you know, picking the wrong thing to have a problem with, but, you know, one day the reckoning is going to come, whether it's something, you know, that they didn't handle in their risk management, or whether it's, you know, back taxes or, you know, fines or, you know, one day it's going to happen. So I have enough problems to deal with. I don't need to make new ones. And I'm still dealing with some of my old problems, you know. But I like there's a couple of people, you know, that I think the smart way to do Airbnbs, you know, for other people that are listening, I think the smartest way that I've found to do it is to do it through the arbitrage method. But, you know, be up front with people and not focus on the Airbnb so much, but to focus on the longer term. There's, you know, there's a couple of really great people that, you know, teach that stuff. And I think that's the best way that I've found to do it so far. Yeah. But I just haven't had the time to move in that direction with 100% of my effort. So, but it's definitely on my one-year goal list. Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, Forrest, in the beginning, I'll tell you what, in the beginning, just to test it out, and even my buddy David had said the same thing. In the beginning, we didn't do it the proper, let's call it the proper way. You know, we were online, we did a few rentals, and we were already marketing it and getting people in there. And then we said, okay, if we're going to really make this a business, right, if this is working, we're making money, because I know he made, oh my gosh, he must have made at least over 30,000, 40,000 euros just without being regulated. You know, he did it for a while before he even got regulated, before he had the inspector come through and make sure he had everything lined up and was official. Let's call it official, right? So even before I did that, I already had rented it out a few times to people and tried to see if, okay, can we make this work? Can we make this business concept work for us? Is this something we want to do? So we put in, I think maybe about, I don't know, anywhere between 8 to maybe 11 rentals, customers over the past year or so, or within the 2018. And then we said, you know what, let's make this official. Let's go through the process. Let's get all the paperwork done, get the inspectors through and all that stuff. And the European Union is much different than the U.S. But we did whatever we needed to do to make it official and do it in proper order, like you said, Forrest, and just to make it, you know, say, hey, we're running this thing like a business. So yeah, sometimes you just get the most important thing is just get started. That's the most important thing. And don't wait for all the stars to align, and just get out there. So.
Right.
All right.
Right. Yeah. So I do have an issue, and I think we discussed this last time, but I still have an issue because I had another property almost fall through because, you know, unknown, you know, judgments and liens against the person, not the property.
Yeah.
And, this property, you know, I wholesaled it and had still under contract. It's supposed to close this week. But, you know, like we get to like the, you know, beginning of the fourth quarter of this deal and, you know, there's a $21,000 judgment against this lady that she didn't even know she had. And, you know, it turns out, you know, the ex-husband, it was like a final divorce present or something. And, you know, so she went through this whole denial phase and went through, you know, I'm not going to pay it. I'm going to talk to my lawyer. And then ultimately, you know, we thought the deal was dead. And then the title closing company, you know, apparently they said the right things to her. And she just said, okay, let's just get it over with. So, you know, it was a blessing that, you know, she turned her heart in the right way just to get the thing over with. But,
yeah.
It's happening. So that's two deals in 2 months, you know, with me, one died and one almost died. You know, I really got to find some kind of economical solution, you know, to doing this title work. And I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure people do it, you know, but I mean, to pay $350, you know, before you even start marketing a deal, I don't know if that's like the wisest thing to do, or $250 or, you know, the one deal from that fell through was a $250 bill, right? So, you know, I don't know. And you can't necessarily put it in the contract, because what are you going to do? Are you going to chase somebody to small claims court for $250, you know, because they didn't pay for the title? I mean, that's too much time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So just trying to figure out what to do to mitigate that problem in the future, because It really puts a sour taste in, you know, my buyer's list. You know, if I'm marketing myself as a, you know, when I get a deal, you better snatch it up because it's a good deal, and then you got to go through all this unnecessary stress. It makes them think twice before they pull the trigger again on one of my deals.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And I got to find a solution. I got to figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people that there's some people that I've seen this happen to before, and I mean, you could hire someone on a very part-time basis, you know, as an admitted basis to pull title for you, you know, they could do a soft title search, you know, and who has that experience, and it could be a lot cheaper than the $300 on average to get that done. So you could find someone who's looking for like extra side work, part-time, you know, part-time work to do that kind of stuff.
I mean, is there somebody, like, if I was to put an ad in the gig section on Craigslist that, you know, I need somebody to pull a quiet title in Louisa County, right? I mean, is that how I would word it, or, you know, should I, is there another way to word it? Is there a particular title of an individual or somebody who does that?
You know, I'm sure, I don't know if Craigslist is the place, it could be, but I would say you might want to look for someone who, I mean, if you want someone local, or if you want them to be virtual, right, I would say if you're going to have someone virtual, you could probably find someone better on Upwork.com, you know, someone who has experience. Another thing outside of that is, you know, asking for referrals from, you know, local groups. Someone who would be willing to, you know, maybe someone who knows someone who used to do that before in the past. You could try Craigslist, but I don't know. I don't know. I've never posted that on Craigslist before, something like that. So it's hard for me to say, hey, yes, that would work, or finding someone who's qualified to do it through Craigslist. I'm just not sure of the results.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about Upwork, but maybe like either Fiverr. I'd start researching on those. Next call, I'll let you know what I find out. I'll spend some time.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good stuff, bud.
Okay.
I'm writing down some notes, though. I'll see what I can find out about that. Maybe there's. I'll do a search myself when I reach the United States. There's no Wi-Fi on this flight, but I just made a note of it, and I'll see what I can find as well. See if there's something a source that we can tap into.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem, bud. All right. Let's jump on to the next question. Anybody else have another question or a situation challenge that you're working through? Want to get on the call here and get your questions answered.
Hey, Nathan. This is Tim Nichols.
Hey, Tim.
Hey there. Just wondering, on a HUD purchase, is there any advertising you can do before you actually buy it, or do you really need to wait till you're done?
Yeah, this has actually come up before. Good question. I've seen in certain situations where investors will market the property before closing, but that's if they're going to go purchase it. Are you purchasing it yourself, or you're just looking to hope, you know, quick flip? Okay. Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, if you're going to closing, you could start marketing it. I mean, especially if you have a private list.
Okay. Yes, I do. Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with marketing it if you're picking it up, and you know, it's going to be your property anyway. So, I mean, if you have a list that you're marketing to, you can already start putting your property package together and say, okay, and here's the opportunity I have. It's going to be available after this day, right? And you can start lining up the funds or the buyer, you know, whatever your strategy is. Yeah, you could definitely make that happen.
Okay. And I guess they would just do a walk around but not get them in until after you're sold or purchased.
Yeah,
right?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Especially, it'd be good if they also know the area, you know, if they know the neighborhood already as well. Yeah. They just do a walk around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good deal. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. No problem. All right, next question. Next question, challenge, hurdle, something not going right in the business.
Hey, Nathan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, it's Sarah. I just wanted to say hi.
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Did you end up, you closed on that property, right?
I closed tomorrow on the new
family. That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to get back there because I really want to go check that property out. It seems majestic in its own way.
Did you Google that? You saw the picture of it?
I saw the pictures. I looked at that local town that you told me about. I researched that man's name that you told me about. Sorry, I'm forgetting the man's name, but I believe the name of the town was Holyoke Town. What was it? Remind me?
New Fountain.
Yeah. Very cute little town. Like, I think that's so unique. But congratulations on your deal. That's great.
Thanks. Not much to the town, but it's where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So did you notice the building in the back with the holes that you shoot out of?
I know.
We need some creative thought. I'm just saying, it's going to be a great bed and breakfast or some commercial thing. But anyway, I got to jump off. Just wanted to say hello to you, and it's great to hear your voice.
Oh, great. Thanks, Sarah. I hope to see you guys real soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Sarah and her family, they're just such great people. They're actually located in Texas, San Antonio area, and just a great group of people that I've worked with. Oh, gosh, I think, I don't know, 2017, I think? 2017, maybe 2016. It's been a little bit. I can't remember dates too well. But they've just been, you know, active in real estate. She's an appraiser, and they're doing some. They just bought this big piece of land, and oh, it's great. It's a very unique deal. Hopefully, she'll come back on sometime and share it with everyone. But yeah, great family, great group of people. All right, let's jump on the next question. Let's get the next question in here. Looks like I got a boarding time of 4:45. Well, my time anyway. That'd be 12:45. So I might end the call just about a few minutes early, maybe 5 to 10 minutes earlier. But if you do have any other questions and maybe you don't want to share it while you're on the call, you could always email me at nathan@larrygoins.com. That's nathan@larrygoins.com. I usually always get some emails. Usually ask a call, so if you want to do that, that's fine as well. I can answer your questions there, no problem. I will. I know I usually have a quick response, but I like to be within 24 hours. But I'm going to be flying in a little bit here, so I'll probably get back to you within 48 hours. Nathan@larrygoins.com. All right. Anybody else have any questions?
Forrest again.
Yes, Forrest.
So in advertising this first property that we were talking about, so if I'm trying to sell this property to anybody, and I'm really wholesaling a contract, I'm signing a contract, I could double close if I had to, you know, but like, let's say, for example, there was a retail buyer that brought an agent in, and, you know, they had to think about, you know, assigning the contract. You know, I could just make another purchase agreement with, you know, the buyer's agent and just do a double close and just, you know, tell them it's going to cost them some more money and just add some money to the deal to make it happen. Because, you know, I mean, buying a property for $90,000 off retail, you know, that might, you know, tickle some, you know, homeowner completely.
Right.
So, you know, but like if I was to advertise, you know, it's for sale by owner in Zillow, and, you know, somebody, you know, called and gave me flack, you know, about it, you know, well, you don't own the property or whatever, you know, what would be my first, you know, comeback on that? Or what should I say to a real estate agent that just really wants to give me part of their bad day?
Sure. Yeah, and that can happen sometimes, especially with agents. You know, basically you say I have interest in the property, an equitable interest. Me or my business partners, we are pursuing this property. So that's really, and this also varies state by state as well, but most states, you basically just state that you have equitable interest in the property. And if they get hung up on you personally not buying the property in your name and stuff like that, because they typically bring that up if you're using like an LLC or a partner's name that's not familiar with yours, that can sometimes trigger them to say that. But other than that, I mean, the really reason why they're bringing it up is because they're probably not happy with the purchase price. That's typically why they're bringing these things up. But at the end of the day, I mean, you could just let them know and say, hey, listen, I have equitable interest in the property, and it's either myself or my business partners are purchasing.
Okay, that's cool. And so,
yeah.
So technically, I mean, realistically speaking, the contract I have is just an option, and I'm just trying to, you know, sell it for more than what I have the option for. It's just that, you know, my option time frame is just, I have a purchase agreement, but realistically speaking, my equitable interest in the property is, you know, $280,000 or $20,000, because I'm trying to sell it for $300,000 and I have it for $280,000. So my equitable interest is, you know, $18,000, and my option is for $280,000, and I'm just trying to sell it for more. That's basically what I'm doing.
Yeah. And you know what? You're going to get that sometimes a little bit more when you use an option contract. If you use a purchase and sale contract,
right?
If the agent sees the option contract, that's when they tend to bring these things up. That happens.
Okay.
If an agent's in the picture, then they will kind of bring those things up on option contracts. If it's purchase and sale, it's not going to be so much. And of course, you know, from contract to contract, they're very similar in a way. The purchase and sale looks more like you're, hey, I'm moving forward, I'm buying the property, depending on the contingencies. But the option contract is, I don't want to say the word slighted, but it's basically, it's all in the buyer's favor, not much in the seller's favor. And agents can have a hard time with that sometimes. So depending on the agent. So that can happen. But the option contract is really designed, it caters towards the buyer, right, and the seller.
Okay.
So either one, I mean, they both work. Again, it's just, I like your approach with it. Like, you're trying to accommodate. That's really nice of you. That just shows, like, you're trying to accommodate and make everybody happy, make everybody a win-win situation. Unfortunately, that can't happen all the time. You know, it just can't. For example, I'll give you a perfect example for us. The property, when we were walking down after we analyzed we did the walkthrough of the 10-unit building, we literally just walked like four buildings down, and we just basically heard of a motivated seller. I am not going to bring in my agent into that deal just because he was walking with us, just because he was there. There's no point of me bringing in my agent. And if he brought up a comment and said something like, oh, I'll list it, you know, that'd be just weird. It'd be like, wait a second. Now, will I ask my agent for, hey, let's, you know, get comps on this, or, you know, maybe a connection, and maybe I'll give, you know, some bonus to my agent, but he doesn't have to be listed on it. He doesn't have to be on the paperwork and get commission for something that we just found while walking. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. They could even be on the paperwork, you know, but your commission could be written down in the paperwork or written down in the contract. It might not be the customary percentage of the purchase price.
Right.
It could be, you know, 1,000 euros or what have you.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Right. Right.
Thank you for holding my hand, but I could have done it on my own, so here's some money to keep you happy, right?
Yeah, you could definitely do that, yeah. It's just the expectation. I think it really comes down to the relationship with the agent. If the agent feels like, you know, they're just trying to get from you on every deal, you know, and sometimes they will do that, you know, especially if the trust is not there. But if it's like that, then you just back away. But my agent didn't even say anything. He was just there kind of listening. And I wouldn't even expect him to say, oh, how can I get in on this deal? When you build those good relationships with agents and anyone on your team, there's that whole willingness to go above and beyond to make the deal happen, you know? So. You there for us?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm here.
Just
letting you feel awkward there for a minute.
All right, bud. Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks, bud, for getting on the call. I'm going to see if we can jump in. Anybody has one more question? If not, I'm going to close the call a little bit early today. All right. Last call. Last call for wine. Last call for any kind of booze.
So you're not doing your Wednesday call this week? Or you are doing your Wednesday?
No, I am. I am doing the Wednesday call. Yeah, I will bring that up. I am doing the Wednesday call. I'm doing it from the United States. Yeah, so if anybody wants to catch that, you get on a Wednesday call at 12 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be doing that call as well. All right, do we have anyone else wants to get in a last and final question?
Hey, my name is Jeff. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. I do have one last and final question.
Sure. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I actually just got in on the call, so I don't know if you went over something similar to this or not recently, or if this is even the appropriate forum for this question. I got a listing on a property in Jacksonville here that I got off of the Hubzu site, the auction site. My first time I'd done that, we just thought we'd put in a bid and check it out, and I didn't do any due diligence, and I didn't expect to get the bid. I just wanted to see if the proof the process.
Uh-huh.
So we got the bid.
Great.
And it's not. I ended up getting the lot behind it as well.
Okay.
From the person who owns it, so it's actually a two lot deal. One's got a trailer on it. One's got a house on it that needs a considerable amount of work. So I hadn't done it, like I said, I hadn't done any due diligence on it before I bid on it. So I was just doing a lowball bid. I now have this, and I'm not able to move it. I'm trying to find, I was trying to wholesale it out to somebody else.
Sure.
And it's a little bit, it's more than I want to invest out of my own pocket right now with a hard money lender. I don't have any private lenders that I've got available to do that, and I'm not moving it as a wholesale deal. I think I've taken any of the meat out of it so that a fix and flipper doesn't see as much profit in it as they'd like.
Okay.
But I may just not be putting it in front of the right people. So advertising venues I'm doing on Craigslist. I've got bandit signs in front of it, and I'm getting calls on those, but nothing that anybody's calling back on or making offers on. I've done a little bit of a Facebook campaign, and I think I'm going to continue with that. I guess what I'm asking is, are there other venues? I mean, I could fix it up and then do it as a pretty house deal or a seller financed, and as long as everybody covers the financing mortgages, I'm okay with doing that. I just don't want to pass those out. But the other avenues for advertising, where am I missing finding the right people to do it? I've offered a JV with a lot of other wholesalers in the area, so they've got it out on their list as well. And I'm not sure where else I'm missing a place to try and find other buyers.
Okay.
And why it's moving, because I think it's a reasonably good deal. But apparently it's not what else does.
Okay. A question for you about the property. You said you're in Florida. Is the property in Florida as well? Is it near you?
Yeah, it's here in Jacksonville. It's right near me.
Okay, in Jacksonville. Okay, cool. After this call, could you email me the property and any information you have on it? Nathan@LarryGoins.com would like to take a look at it. Well, some of the things you mentioned. What's that?
Inner circle question?
No, it's Nathan, NathaN, @LarryGoins.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could shoot me an email there. And basically, I like what you've done so far by what you said. You hit up Craigslist, which is right now the mother of all advertising for classified ads. Facebook marketing, Facebook Marketplace. Have you tried that? That's just another option.
Yes.
Great.
It's on Marketplace.
Yeah, great.
Both on Facebook and BiggerPockets.
Yeah, okay, great. BiggerPockets. Yeah, I was going to say BiggerPockets. Then there's Connected Investors. I don't know if you ever heard of that one, Connected Investors.
Not.
They also have connectedinvestors.com. They also have a forum and a community place, just geo-target, Florida and Jacksonville. You could try that out also. But I really like BiggerPockets as well. Any local classifiers?
I was not impressed with the BiggerPockets forum.
You were not?
It just goes to the list, and then there's no way to search the list other than it just shows up and it's there.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that it's got that much functionality for searching the database for places in Florida or whatever. Maybe it's just not me using it well.
Well, yeah, and depending on where you put it, but the other thing, too, is I heard they're updating some of their search capabilities. They just did a big user interface update. They're actually doing another one, I think, in June. So be on the lookout for that. You might like Connected Investors as well because they break it down geographically. So I want to check that out as well. So connecting with people there, any local classifieds like Jackson Classifieds, if you ever check that out, aside from Craigslist, but like Jackson Classifieds, that would be another place. I like what you've done so far. You've connected to other wholesalers and everything like that. That's you know, that's definitely an option. I would like to take a look at the property because it might be an owner finance transaction. I have a few buyers, buyers and investors down there. Might be able to put it in front of them and send it their way and see if they could tap into their list. You know what I mean? So it's the least I can do there. You know, it's the most I can do there to help you out. Other than that, man, you're kind of hitting the biggest ones when it comes to, like, online marketing, local marketing. You said you did the signs. I would like to take a look a bit more into the deal and see what's up with the deal, since you said you had traffic there but no bites. You know what I mean?
Sure. Okay. So Nathan@LarryGoins.com.
Nathan@LarryGoins.com, yeah. And by the way, I'm filling in for Larry today, and I do also the Wednesday calls, the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 12 p.m. Eastern as well.
Okay, cool. I haven't made it any recently because things have been clicking along, but.
Sure, no, that's fine. Yeah, but you can email me any questions you have along the way also.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
All right, well, thanks, sir.
Great.
I will shoot it to you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, this is what we're going to do, everybody, because I have a plane that just started boarding. So if you have any additional questions, you can email me at Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, at LarryGoins.com. I'll also be back on here on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern time, and you can get more questions answered there. What I encourage you to do is, before you even, you know, come on the call, make sure you bring your questions. You know, it's really good when we hear from other people doing different things, whether it's success or challenge or hurdle, anything like that. You bring it on the call and we'll go over it. So the next call will be on Wednesday at 12 p.m. We'll do the deal analysis call. Until that time, I will see you guys and have a great day.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Nathan.
See you. All right. No problem. Bye-bye.